booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning, TGIF. It is a Friday holiday weekend, and I can't think of anybody that you should start your weekend with more than Juliet Huddy and me. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, I'm Juliet Huddy. So are you off on Monday?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Are you on?
What will I do? I am.
Oh.
That's okay.
I could call in if you want.
No. Oh, stop it. Are you crazy? No, you enjoy your time with your pregnant wife, and these are going to be the final days before you start having screaming and diaper changing going on all day long.
Fair enough.
Let's get a quick look at the weather right now. We do have a flood warning. That is going to be lasting until just about 6 a.m. So avoid certain areas in Hudson County. You probably know where they are. And some other counties as well. I mean, we're still dealing with the aftermath of this remnant of Hurricane Ida. But yesterday was absolutely beautiful. It turned into an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous day. Today we're looking at sunny and 76 degrees, partly cloudy this evening, 60 degrees. I had my windows open last night. It was so nice. Tomorrow we're looking at about 80 degrees, maybe somewhere between 76 and 80 degrees. We'll have intervals of cloud and sun, but I don't see any rain on the way. Low humidity, so Saturday should be a really nice day. Maybe not the greatest day for the beach, though. That's the thing. 80 degrees by the beach, it's probably going to be cooler by the beach, too. So maybe not the best beach day, but certainly a nice day to do barbecues and outdoor activity. Sunday, we're looking at cloudy skies, a slight chance of a rain shower, but I would not cancel your plans. Definitely not. By Sunday night, the rain starts coming in, and by Monday, we may have some showers in the morning, and then it'll clear up in the afternoon with partly cloudy skies and 82 degrees. Currently, the temperature right now in Manhattan is 61 degrees.
President Biden is blaming climate change for the destruction caused by Hurricane Ida. Record rainfall drenched the Northeast this week, killing at least 46 people. Most of them were trapped in flooded basements and cars in New Jersey and New York City. The president declared an emergency in both states. He says historic investment is needed to deal with the climate crisis, calling it a matter of life and death.
You know, the thing is, before Henri hit our area a few weeks ago, there was so much talk. There was, you know, the banners on the TV shows and everything, and we were really expecting something, and it was kind of like poof.
Well, it's the weatherman who cried Henri. I mean, we were so chastened by battening down the hatches for this storm that never came.
Right.
That everyone was afraid to sound the same degree of alarm for the next one.
I don't know if it's so much afraid. I just don't know that we really expected it to be. I think the problem is that, you know, when you think of a storm, you think of trees going down and you know, people flying if they happen to walk outside and get taken away by a gust of wind. But with this thing, this recent one, Ida, it was the flooding. That was really the problem here. Obviously, so many tragic stories. An older couple in Westchester County were driving and they were carried away by a rushing current after a river overflowed. They got out of their car. Obviously, they were worried about being stuck inside their car, and they ended up getting taken away by the rushing current. Sadly, they did not make it. Also in Queens, horrible, horrible story. At least 10 adults and one child were killed when waters gushed into their homes. A little boy, Lobsang Lama, 2 years old, his parents and, I guess a grandfather all drowned in the basement of their apartment overnight. It was just an awful story.
That is awful. But it's on 507. We have traffic and transit on the sevens. Very pleased to be joined this Friday morning by the returning Brandy Scott. Hello there, Brandy.
Hey, good morning, Frank. How you guys doing?
We are hanging in there. We missed you yesterday.
I missed you too. It was a busy day. I had a little bit of flooding in my basement to deal with as well. So, a little bit of craziness.
Oh, boy. That's not good.
But not nearly as bad as some people got it. So, very grateful.
I know.
Have to say that.
That's very good.
Definitely a much better ride out there, though, today on the roads. Hutch, New England Thruway, all looking good. Taconic, nice and quiet. FDR southbound, we do have some road work taking out two lanes over by 71st Street. Not really causing a big issue right now. Great ride inbound across the Hudson River at the George Lincoln and Hollins. And Starlight Double R, they're going to be adding some extra trains this afternoon for the holiday weekend rush. This report is sponsored by Anthem Blue Cross. Anthem Blue Cross and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Brandi Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
I just love your voice, Brandi. It's so just so cool. Have you ever done rock radio by chance?
I've done all different types of radio. A little bit of rock, a little bit of metal, a little bit of top 40.
Nice. Nice. My kind of girl. All right. We'll
thank
talk to you in a bit.
Okay.
All right. We've got some other news to get to. President Biden is going to – actually, he and the First Lady – made it over to Walter Reed Medical Center last night. It was a surprise visit. It comes 1 week after the ISIS-K terror attack at the international airport in Kabul that killed 13 U.S. service members and injured 20 more. The president's motorcade arrived in Bethesda just before 8 p.m. The White House press office released a statement saying the Bidens were visiting wounded warriors. The Marine Corps Times, Frank, reported Wednesday that 15 Marines who were injured in the blast outside the Abbey Gate there at Kabul Airport were being treated at Walter Reed. And a spokesman for the Marine Corps told the Marine Corps Times that one of the injured Marines was in critical condition. Three were in serious condition and the other 11 were in stable condition. Most were hit by shrapnel or had fractures and penetration injuries, consistent, they say, with what you see in a blast. Although there is one Air Force physician who was quoted. He said that some members suffered gunshot wounds. The blast obviously killed 11 Marines, a Navy corpsman, and an Army soldier. Mm.
Terrible.
Yeah.
At least three states are considering an abortion ban similar to the one in Texas. Women there can no longer end their pregnancy after 6 weeks unless there's a medical emergency. The law went into effect 2 days ago, and it allows people to sue anyone who performs or helps with the procedure. Top Republicans in Florida, Arkansas, and South Dakota confirm they want to follow the same enforcement, but likely won't take action until next year.
Yeah, that's blowing up social media, I can tell you that. Back to the president. He is going to be heading to Louisiana today. He'll be leaving later on this morning. He'll be surveying the damage obviously inflicted on the area by Hurricane Ida and visiting with victims. Then he is going to be heading to his home in Delaware for the long weekend. Before he heads out today, he is expected to give the August jobs report, Frank.
Wonderful.
I'm sure you're going to be talking about
you
that.
You bet your britches I'll be talking about.
I thought you were going to say something.
Well,
else.
No, I mean, I don't want to spoil the biz buzz at 520. It seems the nation isn't at risk right now from another new COVID variant. That's the word from top expert Dr. Anthony Fauci. He says they're watching Mu closely and taking it seriously. The White House chief medical advisor admits it could be more resistant to vaccines, but says more research is needed. The World Health Organization says the Mu variant was first discovered in Colombia and has shown up in at least 39 countries.
I have to say, I'm interested to hear what people have to say about this. Do you think justice was served in this next story? A former limo driver will not be serving prison time despite being responsible for a horrific crash back in 2018 that killed 20 people celebrating a birthday upstate. Authorities say the crash was the result of vehicle neglect and bad brakes. Naaman Hussein, 31 years old, is the former operator of Prestige Limousine. He pled guilty yesterday to 20 counts of criminally negligent homicide in connection to the upstate tragedy. He was sentenced to 5 years probation and 1,000 hours of community service. Unbelievable. At the sentencing, which was held in a high school gymnasium so that they could fit in spectators and family and friends, you know, obviously under the COVID rules, people got up to speak and they were not happy. Several spoke and ripped Hussein. He had been facing 20 counts of criminally negligent homicide and second degree manslaughter, but the deal helped both sides avoid a long and emotional trial. I don't know that this makes any sense to me.
So is the reason that he didn't get a harsher sentence because he didn't own the limousine? That was
no. I mean, he was the one who was getting these notices.
I see. Well,
so I really don't understand why they went. So it sounds as though they're just trying to avoid a horrible and emotional. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Did he take a guilty plea or he went to trial? Probably he took a guilty plea and made that.
He made a guilty plea.
Interesting. All right. Well, I have sports in just a minute. Quite a bit of good news in sports if you're a Met fan. But prosecutors are scrutinizing two top Trump Organization officials as part of an ongoing investigation into former President Trump's business. Corporate Director of Security Matthew Calamari Jr. and Controller Jeffrey McConney were subpoenaed before a Manhattan grand jury yesterday. Calamari and his father have been questioned about whether they properly paid taxes on some benefits like subsidized rent and cars.
The furor continues over the passing of the most restrictive abortion law since Roe versus Wade. Obviously, you have been talking about that. We're going to continue to discuss that a little bit later on. But also, there are some new developments as far as what women who knew that this was coming decided to do the night before this became a law. Yeah, we'll talk about that in the second half of this half hour. In the meantime, there was at least one story that emerged yesterday from the Afghanistan drama. I'm guessing you might have talked about this on the other side of midnight. That made, I don't know if you could smile, but at least you kind of have a smirk on your face when you hear about this. Reports coming out of the war-torn country claim the Taliban is pouting because U.S. troops apparently rendered some 73 planes and choppers basically inoperable before they left, apparently.
The nerve.
Yeah. I mean, you think? Taliban spokespeople say that they feel betrayed by Americans. There was a reporter for Al Jazeera who had a chat with the insurgent group, and she says that the Taliban says that they were under the impression that we, the U.S., would treat them like a legitimate government. Like, you know, we gave our equipment to the Afghan army. They blew it. Don't punish us. You can't make this stuff up.
Well, let's hope we can get somebody there to fix that right away.
Oh,
all those things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me tell you what's happening in the world of sports. The Peerless Boilers Sports Report. The highlight is the New York Metropolitans. Dominic Smith's pinch hit, seventh inning, single drove home the go-ahead run as the Mets collected a fourth straight win. Look out, break up the Mets after they topped the Miami Marlins by 4-3. Prior to the game, the Mets announced that acting general manager Zach Scott has been placed on administrative leave following his arrest for driving while intoxicated. Team president Sandy Alderson will assume the general manager's responsibilities until further notice. New York remains in third place in the NL East. The Bronx Bombers return home after a West Coast trip for the start of a three-game set with the Baltimore Orioles. Nestor Cortes Jr. is slated to get the start for the Yankees against Baltimore ace John Means. New York ended its West Coast trip by snapping a four-game slide. The Yankees are in second place in the AL East and sit in the top spot in the wild card over the Boston Red Sox. And the New York Liberty were unable to extend Seattle's losing streak to four games after falling to the Storm on the road last night, 85-75. A valued member of the Giants offense has ditched his red practice jersey. New York running back Saquon Barkley participated in padded practice yesterday for the first time with contact since tearing his ACL. It's likely that Barkley will have to get through another fully padded practice next week before getting cleared to play week one against the Broncos. The Giants also filled out their 16-man practice squad with Trent Harris, Dante Pettis, Dexter Williams, and Brian Lewerke. The Brooklyn Nets are adding another former All-Star to their team. They agreed to terms with four-time All-Star Paul Millsap. The 36-year-old lost his starting job with the Denver Nuggets last season after the team acquired Aaron Gordon. That's your Peerless Boilers sports report. Somebody who is hoping that she never loses her starting job to Joe Nolan is Brandy Scott, who's got traffic and transit on the sevens. What are you doing this Labor Day weekend, Brandy?
I'm going to be working. I'll be around.
Same. All right. Are you going to be working on Monday?
Yes, in the morning and the afternoon. I got a split shift that day.
Oh, well, what?
But it gives
me
a little time in between.
I won't be with you guys,
unfortunately. Oh, but I'll be around the dial.
All right, cool. All right.
Don't go too far.
I won't go too far, I promise.
Well, how's the roads looking, Brandy?
Well, we still have some closures out there in New Jersey from the storm. Flooding on 17 northbound. All lanes are out over by Terrace Avenue and Hasbrook Heights. Also affecting the ramp from Route 46 getting onto 17. Overall, not a bad ride inbound across the Hudson River. Looking good at the George, Lincoln, and Holland. Cross Bronx, a great ride heading over to the outbound George as well. No big delays over on the BQE in either direction approaching the Brooklyn Bridge. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Hitting speed bumps in your hiring process? Well, you can streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Brandi Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All righty, coming up, the Biden administration is reportedly getting closer to allowing people from other countries to come in and visit, which would be really, really nice since we're allowed to visit other countries. And the EU, you know, they issued that guidance to ban Americans from traveling to the 27 member countries. Well, one country has decided to heed that suggestion. No, America. None of you are allowed in. And I'm going to tell you which one coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update. I wouldn't be too worried about it. I'm pretty sure not a lot of people are planning on going to this country.
Probably Montenegro or something.
Well, no, Montenegro's amazing. Are you kidding me? No, I'd be very upset. No, but it's a country that I don't know that a lot of people are planning on visiting. And that is coming up in your Jet Set Juliet. Also, we have an extended on this day. There's so much on this day stuff. Yeah. What's happening in BizBuzz?
Well, as you alluded to, Juliet, the August jobs and unemployment numbers are coming out, and I have a preview for them in just a moment.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
20 minutes after 5 o'clock, the trading week is winding down after Wall Street closed out yesterday in the black following a better-than-expected jobless claims report. First-time claims for unemployment insurance came in at 340,000 for the week that ended August 28th. The figure is the lowest since March of last year at the start of the pandemic. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones gained 131 points, the S&P 500 rose 12, and the NASDAQ grew by 21. The August jobs and unemployment numbers come out this morning. Analysts expect to see the economy added 750,000 jobs last month, with unemployment falling to 5.3%. That would be the lowest jobless rate since the pandemic kneecapped the economy in March of last year. Jobs report is due at 8:30 this morning. And the assembly lines at almost every single one of GM's plants in North America will come to a halt next week. The company yesterday said it is keeping just 4 plants running during a company-wide production shutdown. GM says the lack of computer chips for cars is driving the decision. GM's plants in Flint and Lansing, Michigan, as well as Arlington, Texas, and in Bowling Green, Kentucky, will be the only ones to stay open and operational. The nationwide idling is expected to last at least a week, though some plants in some areas could see production halted for a little longer, Juliet.
Thank you very much, Frank. I appreciate that. We're going to get to some other news now. And there are some disturbing details coming out of the celebrity train wreck known as the R. Kelly trial. A pastor testified this week that he married the then 15-year-old singer, the late Aaliyah, to Kelly, despite the fact that she was underage. But he says that he was duped into doing it. Pastor Nathan Edmond claimed the pair used a fake ID and the young singer had her hair obscuring her face, so he couldn't recognize her. The ceremony itself was just 10 minutes, he said, held inside a Chicago hotel room, and the couple was wearing a sweatsuit.
A gun maker is going after school records of 5 children killed at Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012. Remington wants to see attendance and disciplinary information.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding. The company also wants records of 4 educators who died in the Connecticut massacre. The families of those 9 victims are suing Remington, accusing it of marketing the military assault rifle used by the 20-year-old gunman. He killed 20 children and 6 adults.
The committee investigating the January 6th riots on Capitol Hill is ramping up its inquiry. We told you earlier this week how the group announced it was going to be asking telecom companies to to keep records of certain Republicans believed to have been embroiled in the attack. On Thursday, the team made another bold move just hours after her Republican colleagues promised to oust her from the party, claiming they view her as a spy. Liz Cheney was appointed vice chair of the committee. Democrats say the move was an effort to keep the panel bipartisan.
Walmart is raising hourly pay by $1 for 500,000 workers before the holidays. Walmart's U.S. chief executive noted this is the third time the company has increased salaries in the past year. The retailer's U.S. average hourly wage is now $16.40. This comes as Walmart announced earlier this week it plans to hire 20,000 workers for its supply chain as the holidays approach.
An L.A. couple awaiting trial for defrauding the government is on the lam, and the FBI needs our help finding them. The two were convicted in June of conspiring with family members to fraudulently secure 151 fake PPP loans, amounting to roughly $18 million. Their sentencing was scheduled for October 4th, but authorities say they cut their monitoring bracelets and skedaddled out of their newly purchased $3 million home, by the way, leaving their three teenage kids behind, mind you. Along with the house, they reportedly used the funds to buy cars and jewels and designer handbags, among other things. I posted their pictures on my Twitter at JetSetJuliet. If you happen to see them, I would suggest calling the police.
A judge's ruling on mask mandates in Florida is now official. A Leon County Circuit Court judge ruled last week that Governor Ron DeSantis had no legal authority to ban school mask mandates. But the ruling didn't become official until he signed it yesterday. The governor has filed a notice of appeal.
And talk about awkward but juicy. Get this one. Prince Harry made a surprise appearance via video message at the GQ Men of the Year Awards in London. No big deal. But guess who was in the audience? His arch nemesis, British broadcasting bad boy Piers Morgan. Yes. Yes. I love this. The Duke used the moment to urge governments to do more to help people in poor countries get vaccines, which is very nice. He looked quite fetching, I must say, in a black velvet tux as he presented the ceremony's final Hero of the Year award to the Oxford scientists who developed the AstraZeneca vaccine. Shockingly, Morgan's reaction was quite reserved. Now, I didn't have any actual reaction, you know, in the audience, but afterwards, shortly after the show, he tweeted "ox" as in awkward. That was it. Mm. Nothing else.
You and Brandy Scott, I think, will like this story. Mm. Veterinary surgeons at Oklahoma State University are helping a puppy born with his paws upside down.
Oh, no.
Siggy, the rat terrier.
Siggy.
Was born with her paws facing upward instead of downward.
Oh my God.
Since surgery, she's had her splints removed and is learning to walk. Her foster mom says she couldn't be happier with the puppy's progress.
Oh, that poor little thing, Siggy, just like my little Wiggy.
Oh, I didn't realize you had a Wiggy.
Well, it's Ludwig. We call him Wiggy.
Oh, I see.
And then Winnie.
Okay, I didn't realize that was his nickname.
Yes, yes. It is time now to head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Brandy Scott. Hello, Brandy.
It almost sounds like a drink, Brandy Scott.
Brandy Scott. I'll have a Brandy Scott,
What
please.
Would a Brandy Scott be?
It seems like it would be sort of sweet. Obviously, Brandy, maybe a little bit of orange juice.
Yeah, a little
cranberry.
Cointreau.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait,
I'm here. Do you think Brandy Scott would be a nice name for a drink?
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
What would it be?
I think it'd be a little bit of vodka, a little bit of fresh lemon juice, and maybe a little bit of pineapple juice in
What kind of vodka?
No, but it has to have brandy in it. You're going to confuse yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't really like brown liquor, though.
Just
I know.
A little drop of brandy. Just a little drop.
Yeah, just a little drop.
Yeah.
Maybe around the rim of the glass.
Are you a Tito's girl?
I like Tito's. I also like Belvedere, too.
No offense.
What are you doing later? Do you want to hang out with us?
Absolutely. Where are you guys going?
All right. I'll fill you in. How are the people drinking this early in the road affecting traffic?
Well, right now we've got some delays over on the Van Wyck northbound heading over to Atlantic Avenue. A collision out there. It's a stop-and-go ride from Liberty Avenue. Not too bad now at the lower deck of the Verrazano. Roadwork just cleared. You're doing okay there. Moving into Brooklyn. No big delays on the BQE in either direction heading over to the Brooklyn Bridge so far. We do have some overnight road work on the FDR southbound, a bit heavy there, approaching 71st Street. Two lanes blocked till further notice, and two trains are still running with limited service. That's because of the storm between 149th and Flatbush Avenue. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. The EU issues guidance to ban Americans from traveling to the 27 member countries. One country has decided to heed that suggestion, and Italy is also making some changes. I'm going to tell you which country that is, and I'm also going to tell you what the changes are for Italy. And it's festival time. It's fall. It's the time to go to festivals. I'm going to tell you some of the best in our area in your Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40 after on this day. But first, the headlines.
If you were hurt at...
Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first.
WABC.
And WLIR-FM Hampton Bays.
From around the world to around the block, this is a WABC 77 Second News Update.
I'm Juliette Huddy with your headlines in 77 seconds. President Biden has declared New York and New Jersey an emergency after the remnants of Hurricane Ida battered the area. Tragic stories abound. An older couple in Westchester were carried away by rushing currents after a river overflowed and they got stuck in their car. In Queens, at least 10 adults and a child were killed when the waters gushed into their homes. And speaking of the president, he and the first lady made a surprise visit to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center last night. The president is going to be heading down to Louisiana today to survey the damage inflicted on the area by Hurricane Ida. And a former limo driver won't be serving prison time despite being responsible for a horrific crash back in 2018 that killed 20 people celebrating a birthday. Meantime, the furor continues over the passing of the most restrictive abortion law since Roe versus Wade. Texas media reporting there were waves of women at abortion clinics Tuesday hoping to get the procedure done before it was deemed illegal. And reports coming out of the war-torn country claim the Taliban in Afghanistan is pouting because U.S. troops apparently rendered some 73 planes and choppers inoperable before they left. And checking the weather for you from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a nice day today, sunny with a high of 76 degrees. Tomorrow, 80 degrees and a mix of clouds and sun. Sunday is looking cloudy with a slight chance of rain. Monday, some showers in the morning, then partly cloudy in the afternoon, a high of 82. I'm Juliette Huddy, and those were your headlines in 77 seconds.
The news talk leader for New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and the world.
You're getting judged for everything.
They're out of their minds.
Stop pointing fingers.
I have a completely different perspective.
Get woke. The best and the brightest.
An American original. Talk Radio 77 WABC and WABCRadio.com.
If you were hurt at work, call the Staten Island Workers' Compensation Lawyers at Aunt Julie and Gentile. They can get you the workers' compensation benefits that you're entitled to. Call Aunt Julie and Gentile now, 888-234-COMP, and walk with confidence.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliette Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Jim, the announcer. It is time now for On This Day.
Oh, yeah.
Frank is going to be joining me with this as well. This is a very meaty On This Day. On This Day, September 3rd, 301. The world's oldest republic is founded by Saint Marinus. It was referred to as the most serene republic of San Marino, but today we just call it San Marino. You know, a lot of folks will be shocked to even know it exists.
It's one of the smallest countries in the world.
Tiny, tiny little thing. In Italy. It's surrounded by Italy. It's only about 24 square miles, and it's obviously landlocked by Italian villages. The nearest city, the big city, is Rimini along the Adriatic Sea, and it's situated on the north side of the Apennine Mountains. Saint Marinus was a stonemason from Croatia who, depending on which story you believe, left his home to become a hermit and escape religious persecution. He founded a chapel and a monastery at the top of a mountain, which attracted followers, and the rest is history. The Basilica of San Marino holds his relics, Frank, so you can go and see. Yes. And the Republic itself is quite unique in that its government, even today, they elect two heads of state every 6 months. They serve at the same time until the 6 months is over, and then two more heads of state.
It's probably working out well. I mean, you never hear about turmoil in San Marino, right?
Exactly.
There are no race riots in San Marino.
It sounds pretty good
to
me.
No cops shooting people, no insurrections.
It'd be very confusing, though, I have a feeling.
Yeah, probably, right? Yeah. Imagine learning in school,
know,
who the heads of state are. All right. On this day in history, quite a bit happened, as Juliette alluded to, but in 1783, very big, the Revolutionary War ended with the signing of the Treaty of Paris by Great Britain and the United States.
John Adams, John Jay, and Benjamin Franklin representing the United States. And in on this day, September 3rd, 1189, Richard I, otherwise known as Richard the Lionheart, is crowned King of England in Westminster Abbey. And he was also Duke of various sections of what is now France. He was the third of five sons of King Henry II and Eleanor of Aquitaine. With the exception of his youngest brother, John, who succeeded him, he and Henry's other sons at times led rebellions against their father, sort of buoyed by Eleanor. He was known as a brilliant military commander and a warrior, and word on the cobblestone street was he was homosexual.
Really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah.
In 1833, the first copy of Benjamin Franklin's New York Sun newspaper was published. It was the first penny newspaper.
On this day, September 3rd, 1499, Diane de Poitiers, the French courtier who would go on to become King Henry's mistress, King Henry II, this was in France, much to the dismay of his wife, the Queen, Catherine de' Medici, is born, Diane de Poitiers. The king was much younger than her. She was 35 and he was only 15. She was with him until he died after being hurt in a jousting tourney. And during that time, she became the most powerful woman in France, even more powerful than Catherine de' Medici.
Wow.
Yeah.
On this day in 1939, Britain and France declared war on Germany. The declaration came just 2 days after the Nazi invasion of Poland.
On this day, September 3rd, 1752, the British Empire, including the colonies here in America, finally adopted the Gregorian calendar, losing 11 days. And people were so freaked out by that because they thought that the government had like lopped off 11 days of their life. They didn't really understand that. Greece and Turkey were the last two to switch. They held out changing from the old Julian calendar until the 1920s.
On this day in 1942, Frank Sinatra left the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra to begin his solo singing career.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he was in the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra.
Well, especially because last hour I played a song from Frank Sinatra and the Tommy Dorsey
Orchestra.
Oh, wow.
I didn't hear that. On this day, 1777, the flag of the United States with 13 stars and 13 stripes was flown for the first time, Frank.
Oh.
Yeah, it obviously happened during the Revolutionary War. During the battle at Cooch's Bridge in Delaware, it was mainly the Continental Army and a militia of Hessians serving with the Brits. It was the only real battle in Delaware during that war, which is interesting. And it took place 1 week before the Battle of Brandywine, which was when George Washington went up against William Howe, the general for the Brits. And interestingly, that happened on September 11th. More troops fought, by the way, at Brandywine than any other battle in the American Revolution.
Hmm. Wow. If you ever, I know we haven't gotten you to Staten Island yet, but there's a great attraction in southern Staten Island, the Conference House. Mm-hmm. And on September 11th, 1776, that's where John Adams, Ben Franklin, and Edward Rutledge had a peace conference with Lord William Howe to try and bring an early cessation
wow,
to the hostilities.
I love
Needless
it.
To say, they were unsuccessful. But it's a cool little property.
That's
you got to check
amazing.
It out.
Yeah.
On this day in 1991, legendary director Frank Capra died at the age of 94. He directed It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and It Happened One Night, among others.
On this day, 1791, the new French government's constitution is passed, limiting the rights of kings, the current one being Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette. It was one of the final nails in the couple's coffin. Both were executed 2 years later.
On this day in 1999, a French judge closed a two-year inquiry into the car crash that killed Princess Diana, dismissing all charges against nine photographers and a press motorcyclist. The judge concluded the accident was caused by an inebriated driver.
And on this day, September 3rd, 1971, John Lennon leaves England for New York City along with his wife Yoko Ono. The two become active in various countercultural movements. It was the last time John Lennon ever saw his home country. He was reportedly worried that he wouldn't be allowed back into the States if he left because of an earlier drug conviction. So that was it.
That's what happened
yep.
today. Listen to this.
Yes.
Okay. So a Brandy Alexander is cognac, creme de coco, and brandy,
okay.
right? With a little cream.
Yes.
Right?
Ooh.
It's good. It's a popular
good,
drink.
Yeah.
How about the Brandy Scott? And I just looked this up to see if this drink is called something else. Is a Brandy Alexander, but instead of cognac, it's scotch. So
Ooh.
It's scotch, creme de coco, cream, and brandy.
You
okay.
know, I don't know. Do you ever? I don't taste. I've never tasted scotch.
All right. Well, so I'm making my return to cocktailing this afternoon.
Okay. Will you try it?
I'm going to have the bartender make me a Brandy Scott. And if it takes off, then New York will be forever known as the birthplace of Brandy Scott.
Wow.
Of the Brandy.
How
cool
like that,
Brandy?
Would that be?
That would be really cool.
We need to
dig that.
Drink. Okay, we're gonna do that for you, Brandy. We'll let you know.
All right, sounds good.
How are the roads looking this morning, Brandy?
Well, we're starting to slow down quite a bit on the inbound Gowanus heading over to the BQE. You're heavy there between the Prospect and Atlantic Avenue. We do have that rehab project taking you down to two lanes approaching the Brooklyn Bridge. Bumper to bumper on the Van Wyck northbound, a collision over by Atlantic Avenue. Solid slowdowns there from Linden Boulevard. So far, still a great ride if you're heading inbound across the Hudson River. No delays at the George Lincoln and Holland. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio. Radio 77 WABC.
All right. Well, let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. Wall Street is going to have an interesting day today because yesterday the stock markets did pretty well. First-time claims for unemployment insurance came in at 340,000 for the week that ended August 28th. The figure is the lowest since March of last year at the start of the pandemic. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 131 points. The S&P 500 rose by 12 points and the NASDAQ grew by 21 points. Automaker Ford says its U.S. sales were down by 33% last month. The ongoing global shortage of semiconductor chips is causing major problems in the auto industry. Ford's August had an adjusted selling rate of just over 13 million vehicles, the worst pace since June of last year. August is normally one of the best months of the year for auto sales, but the chip shortage has caused inventory levels to drop to record lows. The shortage is expected to cost the global automotive industry $110 billion in revenue this year. And finally, well, prosecutors are scrutinizing two Trump Organization officials as part of this ongoing investigation into former President Trump's business. Corporate Director of Security Matthew Calamari Jr. and Controller Jeffrey McConney were subpoenaed before a Manhattan grand jury yesterday. Juliet?
Thank you very much. Time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. We'll start with some breaking news. The EU, you know, they issued that ban to Americans from, it was guidance basically, to ban Americans from traveling to their 27 member countries. One country has decided to heed that suggestion. I'm going to tell you what it is in just a moment, but first, the Biden administration is reportedly getting closer to allowing international travelers in, finally. A White House representative said Wednesday that officials are working on a policy that would allow vaccinated visitors only. The president obviously has been dealing with backlash from European nations and me. It would be open again to vaccinated visitors, but no word yet on when this is going to happen. And the EU's list of countries that should go on this sort of do not travel list is non-binding. So the 27 member states can make their rules up. It was basically, like I said, just guidance. But just yesterday, Bulgaria reclassified the U.S. as a red zone country. All Americans are ineligible for entry unless you qualify for certain specific exceptions. It's pretty darn bold, but I guess they don't get a lot of American visitors, I guess. Who knows? Italy also is tightening its restrictions on Americans. You're going to have to show proof of full vaccination or that you've recovered from a confirmed COVID-19 infection within the past 180 days. You'll also have to show a negative molecular or antigen test performed within 72 hours of arrival. That's fairly consistent with what I did when I went back in June. So no problem.
Did you have that option to show previous recovery from
yes.
the test? You
yes.
did. Okay,
yes.
That's interesting.
But the difference is that unvaccinated visitors have to undergo a mandatory quarantine period.
Understood.
I'm guessing it's going to be 5 days. Australia also announcing today that it is extending its ban on inbound and outbound international travel until mid-December. Not good. Now, Sid mentioned this yesterday, and I hadn't gone outside at the time, but once I did, I was like, yes, the weather is so amazing right now. And with the cooling fall temperatures come the fall festivals. Here is a list of the top events in our area, starting in Connecticut, one of the country's hometown fair hotspots with some of the oldest in the entire nation. I didn't know that. But this weekend alone, there is Woodstock, Goshen, and Wapping fairs. But the one to really wow the family is the Guilford Fair, taking place the weekend of September 17th through the 19th. This is a great event for kids of all ages with petting zoos, magic shows, a circus, tractor pulls, parades, and in the evening, Bon Jovi and Paul McCartney tribute bands. I mean, how can you miss that? Down south in Delaware on the last weekend of September, it's the Firefly Festival featuring some of the top music acts in the world, including Billie Eilish and Lizzo. Up north in Massachusetts, the Southwick Zoo in Mendon hosts the Festival of Illumination. It features Chinese lanterns that are made to look like animals at the zoo and an Asian night marketplace. The festival lasts through the end of the year, so if you miss it in September, that's okay. And what better way to see the leaves turn than taking a drive up into the bucolic Concord, New Hampshire area. Concord, actually. It's an extra special time the weekend of the 17th with the 46th Highland Games and Festival featuring all things Scottish. I'm not sure if you'll see Jamie, Claire, or Murtaugh from Outlander, but you will definitely see members of 30 Scottish clans who are there to help with ancestry questions. There'll be performers, dance classes, whiskey tasting, Scottish gear for sale. But very important, you must get your tickets in advance. None will be sold on site, and this is a really popular event, so you got to get them soon. This weekend over in Pennsylvania, the adorable town of Hamburg is touting its name with the 18th annual Hamburger Festival. The featured performer, I mean, what else? The burger. They beef up the festivities this year with 30 hamburger stands, plus music, contests, and naturally a beer garden to drown that last burger bite. And Rhythm is the highlight of the weekend up in Charleston, Rhode Island. The annual Rhythm and Roots Festival featuring live acts playing everything from blues to Zydeco. You have to show your vaccination card or show proof of a recent negative COVID test to enter. Closer to home in the Jers, it's the South Jersey Apple Fest, the weekend of September 11th. If you want to really soak up the fall flavor, literally, this is the place to go. There's live music, hayrides, and apples served in pretty much every way known to man. And finally, Central Park is always really great on cool fall days, but it heats up the weekend of September 25th once again with the Global Citizen Festival to End Poverty. Performing on the Great Lawn this year are Billie Eilish. She's so hot right now. Camila Cabello, Shawn Mendes, Alessia Cara, Cyndi Lauper, Lizzo, J-Lo, and Coldplay, right, among others. Yeah, tickets are on sale, but you have to show proof of vaccination to enter. And that's your Jet Set Juliet travel update.
Thank you, Juliet. I want to thank Eudoxia Doe Rieger, who was kind enough to make a donation to the Tunnel to Towers run that we're doing on September 26th. And she made that donation in memory of the loved ones lost on 9/11 and those who died later from the attack. If you would like to make a donation, you can go to WABCRadio.com/walk. This all has to do with the Tunnel to Towers run on September 26th. Helps military families, helps the families of police officers who are killed in the line of duty. I can't think of a more worthy charity. Juliet and I are both participating. If you want to support either of our efforts, find our picture at WABCRadio.com/walk. Juliet has this glam photo on there. I look like I should be arrested.
You don't.
In this photo. It's not a good photo. But
why? Like you look like you're a pedophile or something?
I think I do.
You don't.
I think
that's just weird. No. You look right. You look adorable.
Well, good. Well, whether I do or not, we want you to donate. WABCRadio.com/walk, please make a small donation,
yes,
or even a large donation. All those people that were supporting Joe Nolan's recent Catholic scholarship thing, they should donate to me as well. All right.
Or
us. We're both. Let me tell you about what's happening in the wide world of sports, thanks to Peerless Boilers. Dominic Smith's pinch-hit seventh-inning single drove home the go-ahead run as the Mets collected a fourth straight win after topping the Marlins 4-3. Break up the Mets! Prior to the game, the Mets experienced some other drama. That acting general manager Zach Scott has been placed on administrative leave following his arrest for drinking while driving. The Bronx Bombers return home after a West Coast trip for the start of a three-game series with the Baltimore Orioles. Nestor Cortes Jr. is slated to get the start for the Yankees against Baltimore ace John Means. The Yankees ended their West Coast trip by snapping a four-game slide. They're currently in second place in the AL East and sit in the top spot in the wild card division over the Boston Red Sox. The U.S. Open continues as the best tennis players in the world compete in New York. On the men's side, top seed Novak Djokovic won in straight sets to advance to continue his bid for a calendar year Grand Slam. 5:47, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7s. And interestingly enough, we're conspiring to get a drink named for Brandy Scott. The Brandy Alexander was invented, I just researched this, here in New York as well.
Where?
At Rector's Restaurant, which I believe
down
was
down. Rector
was
Street?
Down, I don't think it was on Rector Street, but But it's not far from there. It's downtown.
What, Trinity Place? Why would they call it Rector's?
Well, I don't know. Well, that was George Rector. That was his restaurant.
Okay.
So it's ironic that the Brandy Scott would be invented in New York just as the Brandy Alexander was.
Yes.
So, all right, Brandy, now hopefully you don't expect royalties on this new drink that's being named.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Well, how are the roads looking?
Well, we've got a heavy ride on the Van Wyck northbound. Two things going on. A crash over by Atlantic Avenue. That's taking out the right lane. After that, now we've got some road work on the ramp to this Grand Central. It's blocking all lanes out there till further notice. A bit of volume on the LIE westbound between the Van Wyck and Woodhaven Boulevard. Over in New Jersey, still dealing with some flooding. You want to avoid Route 18 in New Brunswick. This is in both directions. All lanes out over by George Street. This report is sponsored by UPSJobs.com. When you're a UPS package delivery driver, you're on the way to building a great career. Learn more and apply today at upsjobs.com/shift. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Sauk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a really nice day today. 76 degrees, lots of sun, and low humidity, which is always nice. It also looks like a nice night to keep your windows open, although the humidity is going to be going up tonight. Tomorrow, we're looking at about 80 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. And as we head into Sunday, we may have a chance of rain. I don't think it's going to be too crazy. The temperature dips down back down to 77 degrees. And Monday, we should have some showers in the morning in some parts of our area. And then partly cloudy to sunny in the afternoon on Monday, high of 82. It's really not going to get much warmer than that, I don't think. I'm looking at the forecast for the next week and a half. I mean, it's 70s and low 80s. So I think those days of the heat and the mugginess of summer are finito, Sid Rosenberg.
You're ready for the fall.
I am ready for the fall. I even brought back some of my winter jacket. So do I.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, you get to
dress.
You
walked in and I looked. I was like, yeah, he's back. Because, you know, the summer thing, you can't wear a lot.
Right.
This is it.
This is the look.
Back.
Yeah.
This is the looks.
I know. I really do. To Juliet's point, I really enjoy dressing for the fall. I really do. And the winter. I don't even mind wearing a big, you know, big Joseph Abboud coat. I like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The summer bores me.
Yeah. It's
a lot of open neck shirts and even the way women dress. It's like, okay, I know. Half tops and tight pants.
You can't wear the cute little tights and the boots and all the little things, the doodads and the scarves. Oh, yeah. It's a much better fashion statement in the fall.
You and I are very similar. We love that.
Yes.
Frank's having his own conversation.
No, I'm just trying to figure out if we had to break or not. And
do you have to break?
No, I want to hijack your show. We didn't get clarification on that. So we'll assume not.
All right.
We're going straight till 5:57 with traffic and transit on the 7s. What's happening on the Bernie and Sid show this morning?
Well, talking about the summer, there's a lady who lives on my block. So I walk around the corner from my apartment on 105th and Riverside. And I stand out there for months and months and months with no shirt on. That's where I get my sun. It's on a residential block.
What do you mean? You just stand outside?
I just stand outside, and there's a stoop, and I sit on it, and that's where I get my sun.
But you just tell people where you live.
Oh, I don't care. They know where I live. But you're right. I shouldn't do that.
It's weird.
So it is weird. So this lady, Iva Kaufman, sees me one day, and she goes, "I've been watching you all summer." I'm like, "Wow, that's creepy." No, but she's being nice. She said, "Listen, you do realize that when it comes to the fight against COVID, that what you're doing is a great fight." I said, "Let me tell you something. I've been saying that for 2 years, that vitamin D and sunshine is the best way to beat it. I never understand when people wear masks outside." She goes, "Well, you're 100% right. I've got a doctor. She's going to come in and talk to you about it." I said, "The one thing that people do tell me, though, is if it was all about sunshine and weather, why does anybody in Florida ever get it?" She said, "Because those people don't go outside. Those are the ones that are inside their homes and inside their businesses. The ones that are on the beach every weekend, they're not getting COVID." So there's a doctor named Carmen Castilla from NYU. She's going to come in this morning and explain why sunshine is your best bet to battle COVID.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, look, she's an NYU doctor. I wouldn't scoff at what she has to say.
Well, I mean, scientists have shown that sunshine does beat COVID, right?
They've got all these.
And you saw even last year, before we had the vaccines or anything, the rates did dip during the summer. And then fall came, then we had to shut down everything.
Correct.
Now, a question. Are you guys going to get your flu shot? Because I just got my flu shot the other day.
Yes.
Oh, I got to tell you, this one, my arm never hurts.
Yeah.
This one, my arm is still sore from getting it 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I love shots. I
love it. Shoot me up. Whatever.
Then 8:05, we're going to talk to Gina Marie. She is the psychic medium to the stars, specifically all the Housewife shows on the Bravo channel. And she's going to come in and talk about my father, probably something pretty emotional.
Oh, my
she's
God.
Really
Wait, was
good,
she
Juliet.
The one who was just on recently with, who was it?
New Jersey.
Was it New Jersey?
She made Dolores cry. She made Teresa cry.
Yes.
That was her.
Oh,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah. She's coming in live in studio with her daughter Maria coming up at 8:05.
Oh, my God.
At 8:40, we'll find out where Frank Ziller is as we get closer and closer to 9/11.
It's happening. I know.
That is getting close. At 9:05, we'll talk to Constantine Maroulis. And then at 9:20, we go live to the Bahamas. Ooh. Where my good buddy Ice Cube is there getting ready for the Big Three Championship in his basketball league. It comes up tomorrow on CBS. So we'll talk to the very famous Ice Cube live in the Bahamas coming up at 9:20.
In the Bahamas?
Yes.
Isn't it usually in New York?
It usually is at the Barclays Center. Very
good. I mean, because I remember you guys had him in a couple of years ago.
Yeah. In fact, Michael Rappaport was the guy that did the on-court stuff and all that. So this year it's in the Bahamas. We have Dr. Carmen Castilla, Gina Marie, Psychic to the Stars, Frank Ziller, Constantine Maroulis, and Ice Cube. This is my last show. Bernie is back solo on Tuesday. Bernie is back solo on Wednesday. And I'll be back with Bernie next Thursday.
And our friend Dominic Carter is filling in on Monday for you guys.
Is that right?
Yes.
He's a good guy. I love Dominic Carter.
He's a great guy.
He did introduce me to Wendy Williams. I'll never forgive him for that. But outside of that. So have yourselves a wonderful holiday weekend.
Thank you, honey. You too.
Are you going to go away anywhere?
I'm going to my mom. It's Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, of course.
So it's not just Labor Day. It's the most one of the most important Jewish weeks of the year. So she's going to make dinner. Since my dad is gone, I really have to be there for her. So.
Yes. Aw.
So I'll be there. I'll be there on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right. Well, enjoy that.
All righty. Thanks,
guys. Stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show. Without Bernie, last show before the holiday, Constantine Maroulis and Ice Cube on the show, as well as Frank Ziller. That is the only radio show in America that can boast that diverse of a lineup.
I call him Q.
You Q? Do you know Ice Cube?
No. I don't. No? No. I mean, but you know, he's a legend. He's an icon.
He is.
He's an icy icon.
He definitely is.
Want to get to some other stories, Frank? We have a few to get to before we have to go to traffic. Not have to. Like, we're not being forced. We
Absolutely.
Love branding. We'd love to know about traffic. Were your children acting a little weird yesterday? Did your daughter sit in front of the mirror doing the duck lips? If so, we know why. Instagram crashed for a few hours Thursday morning, frustrating many egomaniacs and socially obsessed groupies around the globe. Users dropped their selfie arms and immediately began complaining on other platforms like Facebook and Twitter. Thankfully for them, things were restored a few hours later. And I still haven't heard why this happened. What's the impetus for this outage? Yes. Interesting.
Runners in the Boston Marathon must show proof of vaccination or a negative coronavirus test in order to participate. The marathon is being run October 11th with multiple safety precautions in place. If runners can't produce proof of vaccination, they must pass a COVID test at a medical tent on site.
All right, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Whether it's lyrics to a song or a DJ or host or commercial, even a public service announcement, Frank, if you hear the voice on the radio tell you to cut off a limb, don't do it, because it's probably not coming from the radio. It's coming from your head. Tyson Gilbert found this out the hard way. The 39-year-old, who looks like he may have had a date with meth recently, told police who had caught up to him after a long police chase that he was hearing voices. And those voices, Frank, told him to cut off his, well, it's morning. I think you know where we're going, though. He led Tennessee cops on a wild car chase, and during said chase, he heard this voice who told him to cut an appendage, and he did. He cut it and threw the appendage out the window. Police caught up to him. He was taken to the hospital. I got to say, the guy may be off, but he is clearly a multitasker.
Clearly.